for you as well, but it'll be in the way that I see things, okay? Sorry, I'll just skip through here. I notice this is very slow. Okay, so Elimelech was married to Naomi and they had two sons. And the famine came into the land at that time. And obviously being an agricultural society, when a famine comes, things get pretty precarious. You know, you don't know where your next meal might be coming because there is a famine. And so Elimelech decided to go with Naomi's family and move from where they lived down to another place. It's interesting that when a famine came for Abraham, he got Sarah, his wife, and he moved his whole clan down to Egypt. Now, when his son Isaac experienced the same thing, a famine came in the land, he experienced famine, and he was going to do what he saw his father do. Oh, well, this is what we do. We just pick ourselves up and we go move somewhere else. But the word of the Lord came to Isaac and said to Isaac, Isaac, I want you to stay in this land where the famine is. And he gave him two promises. I will be with you and I will bless you. And we know that Isaac stayed in the land and sowed and he reaped 100%. You see, sometimes there is a blessing that is on our lives and God needs you to stay in a place that might look like it's a famine because you are there to bless not only yourself but the people that are around you that are there. But anyway, this family, they left their homeland and they moved down to Moab. Now, Moab, what an interesting place. What is this? Well, Moab came about because they were the daughters of Lot. And I know I'm in mixed company here, but anyway, there was an incestuous relationship and the children birthed from that started Moab. Now, God had said to them that because of this evil that had been done, that they would never, ever, ever, ever enter the assembly of the Lord. They were basically, you could say, a cursed people. Now, they had their own gods that they worshipped, the Chemosh god, and they had their own requirements and procedures. So we could say that Moab was a cursed place. Elimelech and Naomi, they lived up here in Bethlehem, Judah. Beth, house, Lehem, bread, Judah, praise. So here the family is living in the house of bread, in the land of praise. But the father decides to make a decision to go, what is a pretty long journey, all the way down to Moab and live there. So we'll see what happens as we go along to the family as they went there. Now, while living there, they were there for about 10 years. And the father died and the two sons also died. Well, after their father had died, the two sons married two Moabite girls, Ruth and Orpah. They got married. Now, there was a rule that you're not meant to marry into other families, but they had done that, but they had died. Now, after doing that, Naomi decided that she would go back to her own land. So let's just follow it here. So when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out for the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness if you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in another home with another husband. How many of us are seeking rest in another husband? Seeking rest in another home. Here they had lost their husbands. And what a beautiful prayer for Naomi to pray for the two Moabite girls. I pray that you would find rest in another husband. Some of us, we pray for our family members. They're roaming the streets looking for love in all the wrong places. Lord, may they find rest in you.
Amen.
So the tomb... So now what's happened is that Naomi has decided to leave this cursed place and return to the land of her people, Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the land of praise. And we're going to just stick with Naomi for now before I introduce the other people. So the two women went and until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Naomi means pleasant. And yet here she comes back to her people and she tells them, they were all excited to see Naomi. "Oh, Naomi, you're back. You're back with Ruth." And she said, "Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara," which means bitter one. And what's even worse is she feels that all of her troubles are caused by the Almighty. Here, Almighty is El Shaddai, which, as we know, Percy has been teaching us, means like a mother nursing a child with the mother's breast. It's sort of the looking after. In Hebrew, words are actually pictures. And so the picture for God Almighty is a mouth, a door, and a strong right arm. So, and these pictures and names describe God's nature and God's character. So here we have God Almighty, the one that can speak into your life, the one that can speak on your behalf, God Almighty who can open doors for you, you know, teddy bears when you need them, books getting moved in the cupboard and a meal when you need them, a strong arm, you know, Dan coming over and helping me lift up a few things when you need it. And yet here Naomi has this twisted and warped view towards God, because she's experienced the bitterness of life and she felt that God wasn't in her corner, that God wasn't on her side. Where are you, God? What are you doing? She doesn't see the El Shaddai, the one that nurtures and that, and had blame her. Let's close the curtain on Naomi and leave her there for a moment. We're going to go over and see what this girl, Ruth, from Moabite, a Moabitess from Moab. Now, while they were still living in Moab, before they came back to Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread, land of praise, Ruth said these words. Naomi was telling them, "Look, go back to your own family. Leave me alone. I'm a bitter woman. I'm going back to my people because I've heard that God's been good to them." But Ruth, I like Ruth, she was saying, "No." She said, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord Yahweh deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." Naomi lives in Moab. She has grown up all her life in a place that was cursed by God. She was living with people that have this Chemosh God with all of its religion expressions and its procedures and its requirements. And yet here we see Naomi calling on the name of Yahweh. Where did she get that from? Obviously, when she met Naomi, they would tell her about her Yahweh God. Her husband must have told her about the Yahweh God. And so now Ruth is saying, "I don't want to stay in this cursed land and with the gods of my people that do nothing and mean nothing to me. I have heard of your God and I want to go and be with you. Please don't urge me to go back. I want to go to the land of your people and the land of your God." She acknowledged Yahweh in her life. And we will see as we go along the unfolding of the goodness of the Lord in Ruth's lives. You saw on that map, Moab was way down here, and they went all the way back over. And then when they arrived, it was harvest time. Now, Naomi had a kinsman of a husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Amalek, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come upon the portion or the field belonging to Boaz. There was a rule in Israel's time that for the poor, the foreigner, that you would be generous. As you would reap your land, you weren't to go back and get every little piece of grain. You would just leave it. And you weren't to go right to the borders of your field. You would leave that so that the poor could be provided for, so that the poor could have something. Obviously, not like today, we can go to an office called Centrelink and we can apply for one of those nice little pensions that they give you. They didn't have that in these societies and times. But God, in his smartness, has set up this system for generosity to look after the poor and the widow. And matter of fact, he said in Deuteronomy 10:8, he said, "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner, giving them food and clothing." And I'm sure if you're an Israelite at that time, you would have remembered the stories of how God had dealt with Egypt to bring them out. So I'm sure you don't want God on your case because he's defending the case of the widow and the fatherless and the foreigner. So that was the rule. They call it the law of reaping, that you would not go all the way to the end so that others could come and get food who were poor in that. Out of this that I like, I think we've read this, haven't we? She departed and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened, which means to encounter, meet, befall, a fortuitous chance, to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. I say, out of all of the places that she could have went out that day and reap, she happened upon Boaz's land. There's like a guiding hand here, guiding her now. See, Ruth was written at a time, the Judges, it says in the Judges, it was a time when Israel, where every man did what they considered right in their sight. So you would obviously have people who would be good, what we would call a good man, doing what is right, following procedures and requirements. But there obviously also would be people who would be like, "Hey, you know, every man for himself here today, boys, and I'll be doing it my way, thanks." Out of all the fields that Ruth could have went, and don't forget, she's a foreigner, she's a woman, and she's a widow. So she could happen upon a land of a family who mightn't be as kind as Boaz is, which we'll see in a moment, but she happened upon there. "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning till now. She has been sitting in the house for a while.' Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from the servants' draw.' Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' Boaz replied to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of her husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and the wages be full of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.'" Here, this Moabite girl has come to seek refuge under the wings of God. And I think of Psalm 91, the opening lines. You know, He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And we already see that as she has come to Boaz, she is already experiencing this kindness from Him. It's the kindness of God that draws us to Him and leads us to repentance, to change our mind. Come and draw. The Holy Spirit draws the living waters from the Lord for us to drink. Come and draw and have water to drink. Quench your thirst. Gets better. Then she said, I have found favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Interesting, Ruth has a different view of herself. She still sees herself as that outsider, that foreigner, that I'm not like one of your maidservants. But look, this is going to get better. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Now, those of you who come to New Creation Church, you would already see there that that's communion, the bread and the wine. That's the finished work of Jesus. Boaz is inviting Ruth to come and sit at the table and feast on the finished work of Jesus. Do you see here? This is an Old Testament book, and already we're seeing pictures of Jesus in it. We're already seeing God's heart in it. And Boaz, later on, I'll show you that he's a picture of Jesus in this matter. And it says, and she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left over. The reapers are those more experienced teachers of God's word that you sit under. You know, sometimes when we're going through things, it's really good just to come to church and sit at the back and just be listening to God's word and be in the presence of God's people and let Him minister to your heart and let Him lift you up. Come and sit at the table with the reapers, feasting on the finished work and as they unveil it and show it to you, and eating of that roasted grain and be satisfied with leftovers. What I like is God's always got leftovers. It's like going to have lunch with Filipino people. There's always so much food. There's always enough for leftovers. You've got to go home with doggy bags. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even amongst the sheaves. Oh, no longer is she sitting down the back. Come on up the front. Be here with us. Come on, come and be part of the group. Come and be part of it. And don't insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, what I like here, that she gleaned until the evening. She was fruitful to the very end. Fruitful to the very end. Not diminished at all. And I like in Psalm 92, it says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. She gleaned and was fruitful to the very end, to the evening. And she beat it out what she had gleaned. So she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law, what she had gleaned, she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left over and was satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her, oh, may the be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Oh, wow. Something's going on here now. Naomi's coming back alive again. Then the roof Moabite said, furthermore, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maid so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. As we said, it was written in a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And here her mother-in-law is encouraging her, don't go to another field. We don't know what's going to befall you at another field. Stay here in the field that God has led you to. Be in that place where you've come and stay with his maids and learn from them. You know, we talk about living the grace life and the Bible, and we have good teachers that teach us and things. I'll just be a little bit vulnerable before you and just share a little bit of a personal story. You know, I had a bit of, you know, sometimes you go through things and you have the heat of life on you. And what I found myself doing was going to the Bible and, like, you're trying to get out from the Bible a bit of wisdom. Oh, I got this problem and I need to find an answer. So you're there and you go, right, come on, Lord, speak to me, give me some wisdom. Oh, I'll go to Proverbs, that's the wisdom book, you know. So you know, I always got something there. Soft answer turns a rape for wrath. I don't know if that's the answer. And you're flicking through trying to find it. And then I found myself stopping one day and going, hang on a minute, I'm approaching this all wrong. See, remember those armbands people used to wear? WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, and you had to work out what Jesus would do in that situation. And it was all about you seeing Jesus as an example, finding out what his wisdom and how, you know, what a wise man he was, and then you trying to apply it in your own life and doing it. But I've now come to realise there's a real subtle difference, and it's about when you come to the Bible, you realise that this, while it's words, but it's words from a spirit being that is real, and it's about me coming to just feast on Jesus. Like Ruth sitting at the table there, feasting on the roasted grain, eating of the bread and the vinegar, which is wine in those days. And as I feast on Jesus, he is made unto me wisdom. He is made unto me righteousness. He is made unto me sanctification. He is made unto me redemption. Not me trying to redeem myself. Not me trying to be holy. Not me trying to be wise. Not me trying to be righteous in my own ways and my own strength. But feasting on him and receiving those things that I need. Do you see the subtle difference? There's a real fine line between it. And I caught myself out doing it. And I realised, hey, Paul, smarten up a bit. You're better than this. Lord, I humble myself. And Lord, I need your help. And I know you love me and you'll help me. And just then start to enjoy him again. And get the answer that you need for your issues of life that you've got to do. In particular, where to put your money nowadays. Could go anywhere. Okay, we're getting a little bit to the exciting part of this journey of Ruth. You know, this is the romance scene of it. Everyone likes a good romance. Now, there's a chick flick that I really like, and it's called The Leap Year. I don't know if you've seen it. But basically, it's this well-to-do girl who lives in New York with her Louis Vuitton bags and their fancy high-heel shoes and dressed to the nines. And she's been going out with this man, and she's, you know, with their friends always wondering, you know, when's he going to ask me to marry him? And then she finds out that in Ireland, in a leap year, on the 29th of February, the girls are allowed to ask the boys to marry them. So she sets this plan up to be in Ireland. And hopefully at the same time he's there so she can ask him. And the rule is the boy's got to say yes. So I don't know where all the single men are in Ireland on the 29th of February, but this is how the rule is. And I suppose what we're coming to now is there's a procedure and requirement here for if you're going to do a wedding and marriage proposal. And so Naomi's about to show Ruth and tell Ruth how... in her culture, we go about to do this wedding proposal. So Ruth is going to ask Boaz. Okay. So we'll go and read that. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest or a home for you that you may prosper? And now is not Boaz with whose maidens you were our relative? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash and anoint yourself, therefore, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, notice the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And Ruth said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had, and I assume that says said somewhere down the bottom there, told her. I suppose if you are doing a wedding proposal, it is good to have a bath and put on some perfume and your best clothes. I think Daniel was mentioning that he had some workmate. Yeah. Yeah. But look, isn't that there is a deeper meaning there, isn't it? Washing. We talk about washing by the word of the Lord. We talk about the perfume of the Holy Spirit. We talk about wearing that garment of righteousness that the Lord has given us. I put on the garment of righteousness. I take off my tattered garment and I put on his. And make yourself look beautiful in that. You're about to go and do a wedding proposal. Get your Louis Vuitton bags and earrings. Now, we know here that Ruth is an upright woman. So there's no hanky-panky going on here. She's just following the procedures and protocol at the time. Hollywood is not dictating here what's going on, okay? This is all above board. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then Ruth came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and he turned over and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Whew. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your wing of protection over your maidservant, for you are a next of kin." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, my daughter, for you have made this last loving kindness greater than the former, for you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do for you all you require, for you are my people in the city, knowing that you are a woman of strength, worth, bravery, and capability. It is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I." Oh no, it's like a Filipino drama. I want Boaz. I want to be married to Boaz. Why does there have to be another man in the way? But there is. "Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will perform for you the part of the kinsman, good. But let him do it. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman for you, then as the Lord lives, I will do the part of the kinsman for you. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. For he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it." So Ruth held it, and it measured out 6 measures of barley, and it laid it on her. And she went into the town. And when she came home, her mother-in-law said, How have you fared, my daughter? And Ruth told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said to me, 'Don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he finishes the matter today." When Jesus was on earth, God the Father had sent his Son on earth in human form to pay for the sins of the world, to pay for all the wrongdoing that you and I have done. No man can ever say, "I've got clean hands." Yes, it's easy to point the finger, "Oh, well, he's done worse than me," but that's not how it's going to stand and how it goes. And at one time, a person said, "Oh, Lord, I'd like to follow you." And Jesus turned and said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." But there came a time that when Jesus was on the cross and he was there, and as God poured out the judgment on him for our sin and doing all that he had to do, Jesus cried out, my God, I have been let go for the payment of the price of redemption." And at the end, after all was said and done, he said, "It is finished." And the Bible says there that Jesus bowed his head and rested. Before foxes have holes, birds have nests, I have nowhere to lay my head. That's because his work was unfinished. He was thinking of you because he knew that he had to do what he had to do to be able to redeem the situation, to save the world, to save mankind. But once he had said it is finished, he was then able to rest his head and he finally found rest. Ruth here is resting at the feet. The man will not rest until he finishes the matter today. The man will not rest till he finishes the matter. Naomi and Ruth are two women. They're widows. They're living in a society that makes them vulnerable. And yet here they've come across a good man who will now do what he needs to do and won't rest until he ensures that they get redeemed. What is this thing? He is a near kinsman. We've heard this all through this story. He's a near kinsman. Naomi was getting all excited about it. What is it? Let me tell you a little bit about it. They're basically a relative that will restore the full community's rights of a disadvantaged family member. And to redeem means you have to pay a price to get it back. We all appreciate and understand that, don't we? And you could do it for land, or if the person got enslaved, sometimes people would sell themselves to whole families to be indebted to someone to work to pay off a debt, or to provide an heir if they died early. Now, if you were a kinsman redeemer, these are the four things that have to be met to qualify to be a kinsman redeemer. One, you had to be related. Two, you had to obviously not need redeeming yourself. You had to be a free man, a free person who didn't need redemption. You obviously had to have the power and means to pay for the price. And you also must be willing to do it. Boaz, we all know. Look at his qualifications. We know that Boaz was a next of kin because in Ruth 3:12, Naomi told us that he's a next of kin. And we know that he was also a man of great wealth, so he had the means. He was a very free man. He didn't need redeeming himself. And he said there to Ruth in that little love scene here that we saw that, yes, I will do it for you. And here Boaz is a picture of our Jesus. Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. And he is related to us. How do you know he's related to us, Paul? Here. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he's related to us. Is he free and qualified to redeem us? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But you know that he appeared so he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. He knew no sin, in him was no sin, and he did no sin. That makes him qualify to pay the redemption price. He was able to pay it. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. There can be no redemption without the paying of a price. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, in Australia, if I want to buy something, I must use Australian dollars. When I'm in the Philippines, I got to use Filipino pesos. Heaven's currency is blood. And that blood has to be the real deal. It can't be counterfeit. And Jesus' blood was the real deal because in him was no sin. He knew no sin. He committed no sin. Therefore, his blood was the real deal, not counterfeit, and he was able to pay the redemption price. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So like Ruth, we rest at the feet of Jesus. And let it not be known that he will do what he needs to do this day to redeem you and I, to buy us back, to take us out of that vulnerable position that we were in and found ourselves in. Let's just have a summary look at all this Ruth's favour and goodness received from the Lord. She got to hear about the true and living God and his people there living in Moab, the cursed place. She got to hear about Yahweh. She moved from there to be with God's people in his place and in his land. She experienced his guiding hand and protection and happened along Boaz's land. Of all the places she could have ended up, she happened along Boaz's land. And I always like to add that Naomi and Ruth made it safely back from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. I mean, who knows what robbers and thieves were on the way as they were traveling. Now, increased in fruitfulness from her reaping. The motto of New Creation Church here this year is the year of abundance. Oh, look at Ruth. Look what happened to her. When she first came to God's place, well, number one, it was springtime, so it was harvest time. So that's a good time to arrive at a place when things are happening. No use arriving when there's a famine on. It's great to know that things are happening. But on the first day, when she just got there, she's just enough to eat. Then later she gets 3/5 of a bushel. Whoop, what happened there? Okay, and then she gets one homer. And then what I liked was, remember Boaz said, drop her some purposefully? So imagine that, she's going along reaping. Hey, make sure you leave some for her. Make sure you leave some for Eileen. You want some?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And that was restful, you know. She wasn't, all she had to do was pick it up. It was being dropped for her. It was put right in front of her. Eventually, she gets rights to the whole field. And girls, with a husband. Hey, forget the bachelor. We've got Boaz. Let's go back to Naomi now. Now, you might remember when the curtains closed, the curtains will now reopen. There's Naomi. She had just come back. All her friends had come out excited to greet her. She said, you know, call me Mara, for life hasn't been well for me. And she came back with that warped view of God. And it was interesting that she was quick to blame God for all of her troubles. But I noticed that everything started to change in Naomi's life now that she was back there with the land of her people. And obviously, as Naomi watched how the goodness of the Lord was taking place in Ruth's life, it brought hope back to her own heart. Sometimes the favour times here, when we hear the favour, the Lord's favour in other people's lives, it puts hope in our own lives, puts hopes in our own hearts, doesn't it? Naomi started to get excited. Oh, he's a near kinsman. She understood what that meant. And that hope started to come back to Naomi. I don't know why she had that warped view of God. For firstly, she had her life. Life itself is a precious gift from God. Yeah, you might complain about a few things, but the fact is, you've got to experience being alive. You've got to felt the warmth of the sun on your skin, to dive into the ocean, to smell a flower, to have a kiss, to have a hug. Life is a precious gift from God, and it's beautiful to have that. Amen. And Naomi made it back from Moab. Her husband and two sons died in that cursed land, but she had made it back to God's land. There was something she could have been grateful for. She could have found something in her heart to be at least thankful about. She had the precious gift of life. She was also surrounded by people who loved her. When she came back, people greeted her. Most of all, she had a pretty good daughter-in-law. And Ruth means friend. And so she had a friend in Ruth. They returned at barley harvest time. It's the springtime. It's a time of new life and new beginnings, a time where people are joyous and celebrating God's goodness. Naomi, you might have come from the cursed place and you got this warped view towards God and feeling, you know, the world's against you. But hey, open your eyes and look at all the kindness and goodness of God. And as she saw that goodness of God unfolding in Ruth's life, she began to get hope again. It started to spring up again. She realized that God has not withdrawn his kindness from us. And that we have a close relative who is a redeemer. And she began to have a changed view of God and saw that God is not only with us, but he is also for us, which is a beautiful truth. And look, I understand. Like, take the children of Israel. They're walking through the desert after coming out of Egypt. And obviously in a desert place, it's hot. There's not much life around. And they're thirsty. And they come across a pool of water. Ah, beauty, water! And they run down to drink of the water. And as they drink the water, it's bitter. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's bitter. What are we going to do now? I'm dying of thirst here. Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord shows him a tree. Wow, shows him a tree. Where have we seen that before? Where have we seen that picture before? In Galatians, Apostle Paul said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse, for it is written, curse everyone that hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God showed Moses a tree, and he said, take that tree and put it in the bitter waters. And something happened. The waters turned sweet. When we take the finished work of Jesus and apply it to what we sometimes see as bitter circumstances of life, he can make them sweet again. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife and he went into her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be a restorer of life and a sustainer of an old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons of given birth. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wow. Lost a husband, lost the children. Now is holding in her hands the baby that is not only the future for her own family, for her own people, but for the whole world. Because Obed gives birth to Jesse, who gives birth to David. And we all know David was promised a king forever on the throne, who is Jesus Christ. So hope has now returned to Naomi, all because of a kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Hope has returned to you and I because Jesus has become our kinsman redeemer and your future is bright. Yes. Thank you, Gabriella and Michael. Come on over and help us along, hey? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who has redeemed us from destruction and crowned us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies.
Beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is! What a beautiful name it is! The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. And you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever. Yours is the glory, yours is the name. name, it is the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thanks, Kate. Lord, we just thank you that you are our Kinsman Redeemer, and that you gave your life for us, and you were willing, very, very willing, to do what had to be done. As the song says, you didn't want heaven without us, and so you came down to bring heaven to us. Yes, Lord, we don't know everything, and sometimes our view of you can get warped. But we thank you, Lord, that as we see your kindness and goodness unfold in our lives, you really do have our best interest at heart. You really do love us. And your whole purpose from the very beginning was to be gracious to us and to have us living and experiencing your joy, your blessing, full of hope, not slavery, to be a son and not a slave. Thank you, Lord, that through Jesus we can now be part of your family and be that son and be that daughter. And like Ruth, you said they would never get to be part of your people. Never, ever, ever, ever. They're cursed. And yet here Ruth in faith said, no, no, no. I believe. I want it. I'm going to have it. She heard about you and your goodness. She heard about your goodness. I want that. I don't want my empty life and God's. I want you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand up here, Gabsel, lead us in another song.
Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great. God, and I will see how great is our God, how great is our God, how great is our God, sing with me how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He's the name above all names. You worthy, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing. How great is our God. for praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God, how great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. Oh, how great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. So great, He's the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever, Lord. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, what a beautiful name. How beautiful you are. Just one moment with you. Just a moment with you, just one moment with you, can change everything. Just one moment with you, just one moment with you, just one moment with you, it changes everything. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy are you, Jesus. Holy, 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 oh Jesus. Just a moment with you. Just a moment with you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your people today. Lord, I just pray for the people that are here today. Lord, that you'd continue to bless them and that you continue to keep them and that, Lord, you would let your face shine upon them and that they would see your countenance and that you would bring their shalom peace. Shalom peace, Lord.
Yeah.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. You are our healer, Lord. You are our healer, Lord. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. For I have found peace in you. We have found our peace in you, Lord. Thank you for your people here today.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God for His favor. Praise Jesus for everything that we can receive from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, church, let's count ourselves dismissed this morning. Feel free to just stay behind and have a cup of tea, some biscuits as well. If you do need prayer, I think Paul would love to pray with you as well. But be blessed. Amen. Trust that God is going to be dropping bits and pieces of favor in your life this coming week. Amen. God bless you.